السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, mothers and sisters, listeners, as you may know, during this month of Rabi'ul Awwal, we are running the theme on Ahlul Bayt, the household members of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I have been tasked this afternoon to speak on the life, the lessons, and the legacy of Fatima radiyallahu anha, the beloved, nay, the most beloved of all of the children of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There is difference of opinion amongst the historians as to the year of the birth of Fatima radiyallahu anha. There are some who say she was born at the time when the Quraysh were rebuilding the Kaaba. And that was approximately 5 years before Nubuwwah, meaning that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would have been approximately 35 years of age at the time. Then there are those who say she was born just after Nubuwwah, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was around the age of 41. Those are two of the more popular opinions. There are other opinions. Fatima radiyallahu anha was the youngest of all of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's children. And she was the only one who was alive from all of his children at the time of his blessed demise. Her name is Fatima, which amongst its very many different meanings, the most prominent is the person who is chaste, a person who is known for abstinence. She had many titles. Famous amongst them was Zahra, which was in reference to her light complexion, the complexion of her skin. And the other title of Fatima radiyallahu anha was Batul, which was in reference to the fact that she was not occupied with the fineries of this world. Her occupation was the Akhirah. All four of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's daughters, from Zainab to Ruqayya to Umm Kulthum and to Fatima radiyallahu anhun, were born to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's first wife Khadija radiyallahu anha. Actually, all of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's children, with the exception of Ibrahim, were born to Khadija radiyallahu anha. Coming to the personality of Fatima radiyallahu anha, the muhaddithin say that you could see that she was the daughter of her father sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When Fatima radiyallahu anha used to walk, it used to resemble the walk of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And not only in walking did she resemble her father sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Aisha radiyallahu anha, our mother, there was no friction, there was no dichotomy between the wives of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Fatima radiyallahu anha, contrary to what is proclaimed by some. Aisha very lovingly radiyallahu anha says that I have not seen anyone who resembles Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in character and in personality more than Fatima radiyallahu anha. Who's this that is saying it? None other than our mother, Aisha radiyallahu anha, who lived with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was the noble consort of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She says, I have not seen anyone who resembles Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in personality and in character more than Fatima radiyallahu anha. Now, from a very young age, she had great love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's a famous incident. One day Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was performing salah near the Kaaba. And the mushrikeen, and especially the leaders amongst them, they left no stone unturned in persecuting Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in making life difficult for him. So they hatched a plan. They took the innards, the entrails of a camel, which is very heavy. And as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in sajda prostrate, they put it on the blessed back of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, making it very difficult for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to get up. Someone told Fatima radiyallahu anha, was a young girl at that time, and she came. She didn't call anyone else. She came herself and she removed the entrails from the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she began scolding the Quraysh. as young as she was, but she had that degree of passion and love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that after removing what they had placed on the blessed back of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she then started cursing them and scolding them, that how can you do this to my father? There is one narration actually, that one day Abu Jahl, taking advantage of the fact that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was marginalized in the community, he slept Fatima radiallahu anha. He slept her. So she came crying to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Nabi of Allah very strategically told her, go and tell Abu Sufyan what happened. Now why did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam go himself? Because he knew if she went, Abu Sufyan would see that this is a young girl, he would feel more compassion. So Fatima radiallahu anha went to Abu Sufyan, who was also a leader of the Quraysh, and she said, Abu Jahl smacked me, he slapped me. So Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, who at that time was not Muslim, he picked up and he said, come with me, my daughter. He went into the gathering where Abu Jahl was sitting with all of his friends, you know, the exclusive circle, the club of friends. And he told Fatima, slap him back. And she had the courage, she had the strength, she gave him what we would say, one varam club. In front of all of his friends. And because Abu Sufyan had brought her, Abu Jahl could do nothing. Perhaps Allah knows that was the reason that Abu Sufyan later in life became a Muslim. And Allah opened up the doors for hidayat. It is mentioned that at that time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua and he said, oh Allah, do not forget this favor of Abu Sufyan upon me, where he came to the defense of my daughter Fatima radiallahu anha. She was a girl of great intelligence from a young age. One day, when she was still young, you know, when children are still playing and they're preoccupied with very basic things in life, she goes to her mother Khadija radiallahu anha and she says, tell me, O my beloved mother, will we see Allah? That Allah who has created us and that Allah who has given us everything, will we see Allah, O my mother? So Khadija radiallahu anha gave her a remarkable answer and said, my daughter, if you live as a Muslim and you die as a Muslim and your actions are good, then on the day of Qiyamah you'll see Allah. And in Jannah you will see Allah. She was blessed with such a phenomenal memory, Fatima radiallahu anha, that when she was a young girl, it is mentioned, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would verbally teach her a few things. And as soon as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left the home, she would repeat verbatim, word for word, whatever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught her to her mother Khadija radiallahu anha. The sacrifice of being the daughter of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also tremendous and great. It was during the time when she was growing up as a child, when children have no worry in the world, when they are carefree, when they are free-spirited. It was at this time that the Muslims were boycotted for 3 years in the valley of Abu Talib. Total boycott. No one in, no one out, no food in, no food out. The situation had become so dire that Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas said, sometimes out of extreme hunger, we had to chew on the leaves of the trees in that valley. Fatima radiallahu anha, being a young girl, used to scream due to the pains that resulted from the pangs of hunger. Yet she and her mother remained steadfast in their loyalty to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some scholars say it was the negative impact on the health of Fatima radiallahu anha that those 3 years had, which ultimately claimed her life at a very young age. So she went through the sacrifice, but she stood by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After Hijrah, it was time for her to get married. And multiple senior Sahaba had proposed to get married to Fatima radiallahu anha. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not give an answer. And the person who was really interested was Ali radiallahu anhu. But he never had enough money to offer dowry, until Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made him sell his armor so that he could formally propose for Fatima radiallahu anha. This happened in the second year after Hijrah, just after the battle of Badr. Now, when it was time for her to get married, and some months later, it was in Dhul Hijjah, that she eventually went to the house of her husband, Ali radiallahu anha, and the marriage was consummated. Now, I just want to paint a picture, right? Just as I'm describing to you what happened to the daughter, the favorite daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his cousin and son-in-law Ali radiallahu anh, the first of the youth to accept Islam. Let us juxtapose that. Let us compare that to the average wedding, not the extraordinary wedding of today. Aisha radiallahu anha and Umm Salama radiallahu anha were given the task by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to prepare the home, because Ali radiallahu anh himself was from the home of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they say, we went to the wadi, the river of Batha. We took some good quality sand and we used that to plaster the walls. We cleaned and straightened out some barks of a date palm tree and we made two cushions out of that. We prepared one dish with dates and raisins, which became a drink of sweet water. And we hung one stick in the corner of the room, and upon it we put a leather skin for water. That was the flat. That was the house for the newlyweds. Today, what would we say? No, we need 6 months to a year to get the house ready, to get the flat ready, before they can get married and before they can move in. And notwithstanding all of this, this degree of simplicity, which is a lost sunnah amongst us today, Aisha radiallahu anha made a comment and said, I never saw a marriage more exquisite than that of Fatima radiallahu anha. There is a cancer eating away at the moral fabric of our society. And that is the cancer of where especially our women folk look at the trends and the images from everyone else's home, everyone else's function, everyone else's holiday, and want to emulate the same within their own homes, whether they can afford it or not, or whether it is required or not. And this is slowly eating away at the quality of simplicity which we find in the sunnah and the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today it's like, you know, oh, I checked on Instagram, she had this kind of a dress, now my daughter must have that kind of a dress. They use this kind of decor, they use this kind of color theme, they use this kind of, wedding planner and itinerary and menu, and everything must be exquisite and everything must be out of the ordinary. No one is saying that you must call people and give them bread and butter. Not that there would be anything wrong in that. But yes, to a reasonable extent, keeping in mind the ideals of simplicity. Today, what is the average trousseau like? The average, I'm not talking of those people who fly into Paris just to do the trousseau of their daughters. I'm saying the average trousseau. And compare that to what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave Fatima radiallahu anha as a trousseau when she was getting married to Ali radiallahu anha. One big sheet, a leather cushion, a grinder, a leather skin, and two jars. That was the trousseau of the most beloved of the daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A concise wedding. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed the nikah, it was in Ramadan. It was just after Badr, in Ramadan, in the second year after Hijrah. But the marriage was only consummated in Dhul Hijjah, so there was after Ramadan, Shawwal, Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah, say about 3 months. When Fatima radiallahu anha was sent to Ali radiallahu anha's house, she went walking with Umm Ayman. Today there's like an entourage. You have to make a special arrangement. Sometimes I've heard people say there are fights in the house as to who will be part of the motorcade to go and drop the daughter off at her new home now. Can we go and borrow somebody's car because it's a luxury car that looks smart and we take our daughter in that car? I'm not saying anything is impermissible. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying compare it to the simplicity of the wedding and the nikah of the woman who is the leader of all women in Jannah. Sayyidatun Nisa'i Ahlil Jannah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent her walking with Umm Ayman because she didn't have much to carry. There was no need for bags and bags and boots full of matters and items that were to be taken. How old was she at the time of her nikah? Some scholars say 15 years and 5 months. Others say she was 18 years. Ali radiallahu an was 21 years. Not only was the marriage simple, the lifestyle was simple. They did not possess any smart bedding, nor did they have any separate clothes to sleep in. Today, the average person will have multiple pairs of pajamas. No, they didn't have even one separate set of clothing to sleep in. What they wore in the day, they had to wear at night. Ali radiallahu anhu, once on the minbar, he said, you know, I married the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not the daughter of any ordinary king of this world. I married the daughter of Rahmatul Lil Alameen. And our condition was such, we had no bedding to sleep upon besides sheepskin. We would sleep on that sheepskin at night, and on in the day we would put the food on it for the animals to consume. They didn't even have separate bedding, separate clothing for the night. It's mentioned in one narration, and one day Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to visit Fatima radiallahu anha, and she had one sheet, and it wasn't even adequate. If she covered her head, her feet would be exposed. If she covered her feet, her head would be exposed. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam pacified her and said, Fatima, Allah has kept in reserve for you something great in Jannah. Don't worry, okay, it's only your father that's in the house with you. It's only your father who's in the house with you. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told her, Fatima, you must do the work of the house. Ali will do the work outside the house. One day Ali radiallahu anhu took pity on Fatima radiallahu anhu and said, the famous incident, that go ask your father to give you a servant. And she went and she saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was busy with some people, so she came back. Later on, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to visit. He said, Fatima, you came to see me, you needed something. So she was embarrassed to speak. She was embarrassed to speak. She couldn't complain to her father, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So what happened? Ali radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, Fatima does all the housework by herself. She grinds the mill, and this causes calluses on her hands. She carries the water bags and it's leaving marks on her back. Can you please arrange for her to be given a servant? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, my daughter must do the work herself. My daughter must do the work herself. Then he said, Fatima, recite 33 times Subhanallah, recite 33 times Alhamdulillah, recite 34 times Allahu Akbar. That is when it became known as the Tasbih Fatimi. What does that have to do with work? When you make dhikr, Allah gives you spiritual energy that will help you with your physical work as well. All the time, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was inclining his daughter towards akhirat. Simplicity in this world, but greatness in the akhirat. When there was a dispute, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to visit. Where's Ali? His cross. What did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do? Did he say, how dare he have an argument with my daughter? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went himself to look for him, found him in the masjid. He was sleeping. There was no carpets. His head had become dusty on the ground. He told him, O father of the dust, Abu Turab, stand up, come home. Let's resolve the matter. Later in life, Ali radiallahu anhu said, you know, one day we had no food to eat. So I saw some caravan with goods had come from outside of Medina. So I went to help the owner to offload the goods. And it took me the whole day. And after an entire day of labor, he gave me one coin. By the time I came, the shops were closed. I found one shop that was open. I brought a bit of wheat. When I came home, I found my wife smiling. She said, Ali, I waited for you the whole day. Bring the wheat. She made the food. And she said, I won't eat my husband until you don't eat first. He said, that's when I remembered that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Fatima is the best from all the women. When Ali radiallahu anhu used to come home, she would stand up out of respect. She never used to say, you know who's my father? She would stand up out of respect. She would welcome him. She would embrace him. She would give him food to eat. She would massage his body. Those were the qualities, the remarkable qualities that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had imbibed in his daughters. Don't make these demands of your wife. Train your daughter like this. It's easy to make the demand of somebody else's daughter, but train your own daughter to have these kind of qualities. On the occasion of Uhud, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was wounded. The blood is dripping. Ali radiallahu anhu is pouring the water. Fatima radiallahu anha is wiping out the blood. She saw, no, it's not helping. She burnt the straw mat and applied it. And that is when the Mubarak blood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam stopped flowing. Once the Nabi of Allah asked his daughter, testing her, that Fatima, tell me, what is the most admirable quality in a woman? Fatima, tell me, what is the most admirable quality in a woman? She said, oh my father, nobody must see her and she mustn't look at anybody. No ghair mahram man must see her and she mustn't see a ghair mahram herself. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had multiple wives. Khadija radiallahu anha had passed away in Makkah already. So they were all the stepmothers of Fatima radiallahu anha. And she was the beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Zainab radiallahu anha was a bit straightforward. So one day she scolded Fatima radiallahu anha. So somebody said to Fatima radiallahu anha, you mustn't ever go visit her again. She's very temperamental. She said, how can I not go and visit my mother? She's my mother. She can shout me as much as she wants. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married Zainab radiallahu anha after Khadija radiallahu anha passed away. One day Juwayriya radiallahu anha called Fatima radiallahu anha and gave her a very difficult task to do. And immediately Fatima radiallahu anha stood up. No hesitation, no argumentation, no objection. Ready to do the work. And then Juwayriya radiallahu anha, I was just testing you. Indeed, what your father has said is true. You have the most remarkable qualities from amongst the women of your time. This was the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Time is running out on me. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reaching the end of his life, Fatima radiallahu anha came to knock. When she would knock on the door, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would tell the people of the house, that is the knock of my Fatima. Let her come in. When she comes in, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam calls her. He tells her something, she starts crying. Then he tells her something else and she starts smiling. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam leaves the house, Aisha radiallahu anha is curious. What happened? No, my father told me it's a secret. I can't tell anyone else. After Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, they asked her, Fatima, what did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam say to you? He said, he called me and said, Fatima, your father is going to depart very soon. Remain steadfast on Islam. She said, I started crying. Then he said, Fatima, you will be the first from my family to join me in Jannah. And she said, that is when I started smiling. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's pain started intensifying, it was nigh the final moments. It's documented in the ahadith. Fatima radiallahu anha couldn't take to see the pain of her father. She said, "Wa karba abata," that, oh, the pain of my beloved father. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled at her and said, "Oh Fatima, after today, your father will have no more pain." When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, she said, "Ya abata, oh my beloved father." Ajaba Rabban Da'a. You answered the call of Allah. Allah was calling you. Ya Abata, oh my beloved father, Jannatul Firdausi Ma'wa. Your abode is now Jannatul Firdaus. Ya Abata, ila Jibreel and An'a. Now we will have to tell Jibreel that he can't come down anymore. She said in that emotion, Subbat alayya masa'ibun. The demise of my father is so heavy on me that if this grief were to be put on the night would turn to day. After Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was buried and those who were part of the burial process returned, then she said to Anas radiallahu an, atabat anfusukum an tahthu ala Rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam at-turab. How did it feel to put soil on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And when she asked that question, which was rhetorical, she didn't want an answer, Anas radiallahu anhu burst out crying and sobbing uncontrollably. They say that after the demise of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Fatima radiallahu anhu never smiled till the day she died. She got sick not too long thereafter, as Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had predicted. And 6 months later, she joined her father sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Jannatul Firdaus. When Fatima radiallahu anha was ill, her last illness, it was Abu Bakr radiallahu anha. No conflict. They may have had some issues, but it was resolved. Abu Bakr radiallahu anha sent his wife Asma binti Umays to look after Fatima radiallahu anha. And when it became clear that Fatima radiallahu anha was not going to survive, she told Asma, I'm worried that when my janazah is being taken to Baqi, people must not look at the kafan and see the shape of my body. Look at that. That's why she was named Fatima, the chaste one. That even after my demise, people mustn't be able to see, you know, that this was a fat person or the thin person or the, you know. So Asma told her, no, when we were in Abyssinia, we saw that they put like an entire canopy upon the body and then nobody can see what it looks like inside. So she said, then my wasiyat and my bequest is that how my janazah must be taken. And she said, bury me quickly at night so people cannot see the janazah. That was the level of modesty. When she passed away, entire Medina was in turmoil. 6 months prior, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had passed away. And now the last living biological link to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had also left the world. Ali radiallahu an told Abu Bakr radiallahu an that I want you to perform the janazah of Fatima radiallahu anha. Abu Bakr radiallahu an said, you have a greater right because you are the husband. He said, no, you have a greater right because you are Amirul Mu'mineen. You are Amirul Mu'mineen. And it was Abu Bakr radiallahu an who performed the janazah of Fatima radiallahu anha. There's much more we can discuss. It's about the lessons that we take from this. Fatima radiallahu anha had 3 sons. Hassan, Hussein, and Muhsin. Muhsin passed away in infancy. She had 2 daughters, Zainab and Umme Kulthum. She named them after her sisters for memory's sake. And she passed on, some scholars say at the age of 28, others say at the age of 30. Sayyidatun Nisa'i Ahlil Jannah. She lived the simplest of lives in this world with the noblest of qualities, and Allah gave her the highest of titles in Jannah. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant us the understanding and true appreciation and love for the Ahlul Bayt, the household members of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.